Look again. When you came in here tonight, how many times did you look at your ticket? 5? 8? Human brain's a sieve. Why do you think they run the same commercial 150 times? I'm trying to save money on car insurance. I want to wear an untucked shirt. I don't know how to do it.
Gambling in Vegas.
I gamble a little. I'd probably gamble more, but I don't win, so I stop. I don't understand gambling addiction. I don't find losing money addictive. My brain works like losing money, stop activity. Making money, continue activity. Besides which, you really think you're supposed to win these games? Losing money is what gambling is. When you leave a building with more money, that's your job. Think about what this place would be like if it was easy to win the games. It would be very different. You think the traffic's bad on the Strip now? That beautiful casino out there would be a cinder block bunker with a communal toilet. You think they'd have nice restaurants? You'd be lucky to get those orange crackers with the peanut butter in between. And when you called down to the front desk, instead of them saying, "Have a lucky day," they'd go, "Why don't you just shove it up your ass?" That's what it would be like if you could win the games.
Cremation.
I hear a lot of people say they want to be cremated. Definitely a shift in how people are looking at their lives. People used to want a big block of granite, their name carved into it with a chisel. I was here, goddammit. Cremation is like you're trying to cover up a crime. Burn the body, scatter the ashes. As far as anyone's concerned, this whole thing never happened. I would not want to be cremated. Seems impolite. I feel the least I can do at my own funeral is show up. Everybody I know is going to be there. I want to be there too. Dead as a doornail, laid out like a 6-foot party sub. At a regular funeral, there's still a chance the person could wake up. Not at a cremation. Cremation's like, that ashtray's full. This party's over.
Glad sandwich bags.
I still can't believe that every single day of my life, I see people picking up their dog's defecation with their hands. Every day of my life. The confidence they have in that Glad sandwich bag, where did that come from? What do we know about the Glad sandwich bag? It locks in freshness? Which I would think is the last thing you want to do with a big steaming pile anyway? I don't know how human beings make these mental leaps. Glad keeps a sandwich fresh. I'll pick up feces with it. I hate just as much before the event when I see them walking their dog, and my eye goes right to that suspicious little tuft of plastic or paper clutched in their hand, and I know exactly what's going to happen. If aliens are watching this through telescopes, they're going to think the dogs are the leaders of the planet. If you see two life forms, one of them takes a crap and the other one's carrying it for him, who would you assume is in charge of that society?
Nose hair.
I'd like to say something to all the men in the audience about nose hair. And that should be all I need to say. There should be no further comment necessary. The term nose hair should be a medical term completely unknown to the general public. I had a meeting with a lawyer the other day, and I'm telling you, this guy really had a situation. If a spark came off a match, we could have had a brush fire in there. This guy's a lawyer, somewhat of a public image profession, and he's giving me his opinions. There's no opinions when you've got scarecrow straw coming out. There's only one opinion. Objection. You, sir, are beyond the nostril perimeter. I want to know how this slipped by final inspection before walking out of the house. If you glanced in the hubcap of a passing car, one could easily see there's a problem.
Itching, burning, and redness.
Doctors on TV always have these itching, burning, and redness pads on their desk, with a little checkoff box next to each word. What kind of doctor gets pads like this professionally printed up? Goes into a stationery store. I need itching, burning, and redness pads. This is happening a lot in my office, and I want to check them off as they happen. Nurse, send in the next patient, please. You have itching, yes. Burning, yes. Redness, yes. Hold it right there. That's all the boxes I have. Thank you for helping me use my little pad. Good luck with your disgusting situation.
Suicide bomber.
My favorite suicide bomber is the guy who accidentally blows himself up without injuring anyone else in the area, a jihad-e-coyote kind of guy. I guess I just wish we could see that moment of, is it the red button, then the green? Oh, no, wait. Eventually, they'll have roller skates, huge rocket on the back, trying to light it. It better work this time. The last one, I did a loop-de-loop right into a wall, then I slid slowly down it, totally embarrassed.
terrorist monkey bars.
One of the things we do have on our side in this war is we seem to have a lot of film of terrorist groups in their training camps. I don't know how we got these films, but we got them. And I think one of the main things we can learn from watching these films is the tremendous emphasis the terrorists place on the monkey bars. Has there ever been a war where the decisive battle was fought on a children's playground? I need a volunteer to gain control of that horse with the giant spring underneath it. I think we ought to focus more on the seesaw. We got so many fat kids in this country that could sit on one end, keep those skinny terrorists up in the air on the other. You threaten to jump off the bottom of a seesaw, that's some terrorism. Hey, let me down, let me down. Let's see your shoe bombs work now.
Slightly Nazi.
There's a particular motorcycle helmet I see a lot on the streets that I don't get. And I'm sure you know the one I'm going to say. It has that unmistakable flare around the back. I wouldn't say that it's full Nazi, but it's definitely slightly Nazi. And these are not hardcore bikers I'm talking about. I'm talking scooters with the little knees together riding position. How do seemingly normal people get themselves into a Nazi shopping situation? You walk in the motorcycle store, the man says, "May I help you?" You go, "Yes, I need a motorcycle helmet." He says, "Well, I have these regular ones here." You go, what else is there?" He says, "Well, let me ask you this. How do you feel about the Nazis?" You go, "To tell you the truth, I wasn't crazy about the genocide, hatred, racism, and mass murder." He says, "What about the helmets?" "The helmets weren't bad. I can't really say I had a problem with the helmet as a standalone item." And interestingly, there's another type of helmet I've seen that is kind of a small black plastic circle, which actually looks like the yarmulke that religious Jewish people wear. I think I see a theme emerging here. I guess if you're a motorcycle rider, and you're a World War II fan, and you're in the market for a motorcycle helmet, we got you covered either way you want to go.
Car horn.
People love the car horn because they know they could never think of enough curse words to last as long as they can just hold that button down. Wait till they hear this. We also believe for some reason that the harder we actually push our finger on the button, the more effect the horn is going to have. I love when we try and affect inanimate objects that way. Like when the car doesn't start, people always try turning the key really hard. Like the key is going to go, "Ow, all right, I get it."
Directions voice.
When people give you directions in the car, they use different voices too. They have a story voice and a directions voice. I don't think I even want to go out with her again and make a ride at the next corner. I think she might be a wacko. Watch this guy pulling out. He doesn't see you. I'm really just sick of dating at this point. The bridge is out. We just went over a cliff. I don't know. Maybe I'll call her. The car's a huge ball of flames. Our lives are over.
OnStar.
With the OnStar service available now on GM vehicles, OnStar satellites orbiting the Earth, OnStar technicians wearing headsets at the command control center, beaming signals back and forth across the galaxy, all because you can't keep from locking yourself out of your own damn car? Is this really why we conquered space? To help out all these puddinheads in mall parking lots looking in their car window going, "Oh, there they are. They're in the car. That's why it's still running. No, forget the 2-cent wire hanger. I'll contact a zillion-dollar deep space communication center instead. They bounce a signal off of Neptune. It's a lot easier that way." OnStar. They should call this service MoronStar. That's what it really is. You hit the button, they answer, "Yes, moron, what'd you do now?" "Well, I got lost, then I crashed. I'm hanging off the side of a cliff by the seatbelt, and I'm trying to find a good Italian restaurant." "All right, moron, take it easy. We'll walk you through it."
Opposite clothes.
For some reason, humans like to dress in clothes that are the exact opposite of who they really are. Can't play the sport? Wear the jersey. Morbidly obese? Walk around in a jogging outfit. No talent, skills, or ability of any kind? Put on a fancy suit, announce you're running for office, and would like to be in charge of everything.
Liberace.
I saw this thing on Liberace on TV. Apparently, Liberace made his limo driver, who was also his lover, get all this plastic surgery so he would look like a young Liberace. And he was on the show, and he looked just like a young Liberace. I definitely see two potential problems here with this. First, creating a living, breathing human blow-up doll in your own likeness so you can sodomize yourself as a young man. That's number one. Number two, getting involved with someone you work with. That can get awkward too. They must have had some weird fights. Listen, buddy, you being the new me may be new to you, but it's getting pretty old to me. And don't look at me like me when I'm talking to you.
Movie garbage.
Took the kids to the movies the other day. New announcement at the movie theater I had not seen before. Please pick up the garbage from around your seat after the movie. Oh, okay. Maybe I'll bring my orange jumpsuit and a wooden stick with a nail in it, too. Maybe I'll work my way down the highway after the credits roll. I'm not picking nothing up. I'm the one that threw it down. Because we have a deal in place with the movie theater people. The deal is, you're ripping us off. In exchange for that, when I'm done with something, I open my hand and let it roll down 8 rows. I'm not sticking my hand down into that dark, scary hole to try and pry out 3 goobers that have been soda welded there since the Shawshank Redemption. What have they given us? A cup holder growing out of the armrest? Is that our luxury feature? How about an automatic popcorn shooter that fires one in every 5 seconds to complete this corpse-like experience?
Grip.
The cup holder. That is the object that defines our culture. We're not holding cups. Too much strain on the hand. Give me a belt clip for the cell phone. Give me an earpiece so I don't have to hold the phone up. And not one that I have to take in and out. Drill it right into the side of my skull. If I have 2 beers at a ball game, give me a hat where I could put one on each side with a feeding tube coming down. If you've got a dog, you've got a leash with extra leash wound up inside in case he pulls it. I just let the line out like he's a marlin. I go on Amazon, I set one-click ordering. One click. That's it. You want me to click twice? I don't even want it anymore.
Public restroom.
I go in a public restroom. I expect a motion detector on the toilet, sink, urinal. I'm doing nothing in here. Why is the sink never as aware of us as the toilet? You always have to go into a David Copperfield magic act to get that to work. Go over to the paper towels, do another dance of the 7 veils over there. And why, by the way, are public restrooms constructed from the most sound, reflective materials on earth? Metal, glass, rock-hard tile, so that every tiny human noise is rendered in Dolby ProLogic surround sound quality? Is it not bad enough in there? Who designed the bathroom stall with the under-display viewing windows so we can all see the pathetic collapsed pant legs and tragic little shoe fronts just barely poking out from underneath? The impotent belt just lying there. How much more money is it to bring this wall down another foot? It's the cheapest wall in the world. It's a metal panel. They don't even make the panels meet up tight in the corners. Why can't they cinch that up? You got a gap in a bad spot, dude. Sometimes you're walking by, you see a frightened, terrorized human eye. Just a flash of eye white in space. A darting pupil. I'm not a horse. I don't want to be in a stall. If it's a stall, why don't I hang my head over the front door? That's what the horses do. I'm sure my coworkers recognize my shoes. Let's let them see my face, too. Hey, Bob, how you doing? Yeah, this is why I had to run out of that big meeting. Had a little PowerPoint presentation of my own to do.
All awards are stupid. HBO Comedian Award Acceptance Speech.
At moments like this, I like to quote my good friend Carl Reiner, who has often said to me, "You don't give awards to comedians." First of all, comedians don't need awards. Awards are for people that are looking for work. We're not looking for work. If you're any good as a comedian, you've got tons of work. We've all got wrinkled suits and smelly shirts from packing and unpacking and schlepping all over the goddamn country doing 10 million different kinds of gigs. More importantly, your whole career as a comedian is about making fun of pretentious, high-minded, self-congratulatory BS events like this one. The whole feeling in this room of reverence and honoring is the exact opposite of everything I have wanted my life to be about. I really don't even want to be up here. I want to be in the back somewhere saying something funny to someone about what a crock this whole thing is. And I don't want to give the wrong impression that I'm not very honored by this, because I am. But it doesn't change the truth, which is this. All awards are stupid. Every real estate office has some 5-star President's Award plaque. Every hotel check-in has some gold circle service thing. Every car salesman is a platinum jubilee winner and it's all a big jerk-off. The hotel stinks, the real estate person is stupid, and the only thing the car salesman is good at is ripping you off. Because the awards don't mean a goddamn thing, they're all stupid. How many more times are we going to feel the need to set aside a night to give out these Jagoff bowling trophies so all these people can congratulate each other on how much money they're making boring the piss out of half the world? And if I hadn't already won all these awards, I would not be talking like this. The truth is that comedians should be the only ones getting awards. We're the only ones that have to actually think of something original and funny and interesting for ourselves to say. I don't know why we're so fascinated by actors in this culture. They haven't got a thought in their stupid bedhead hairdo. We must honor this man. Why, he pretended to be Bill Jones. He's a genius, I tell you. Roll the cameras, put on these clothes, stand on this spot, ready, and say what we told you to say. He did it. Give him a huge golden trophy. He's a goddamn genius. Walking down the red carpet in these ridiculous outfits like they're senators from Krypton. I should bring some of these things so you can see how stupid they really are. The Golden Globe looks like something you'd get for third place in a pie-eating contest. It's about this big. The plaque on the front is the thinnest fake yellow metal in the world. It's glued on crooked. The glue is coming out around the sides. My name isn't even spelled right. It's signed Field. No one cares. It doesn't matter.
The Audience Decides. An audience ad lib at the Comedy Cellar one night.
You all get to make the decision if something is funny or not. All these people come up here with their experience and their TV credits and their careers, and you decide. And what the hell do you know about it? Nothing. You're not funny. You've never written a joke. If you were funny, you wouldn't need to come to this. You're not even really paying attention. But it's your call. That's the system. And as comedians, we accept it. But think how you'd feel if I came into your office and went, I don't agree with the things you say in these meetings. I don't know anything about your business. I don't even work here. I just thought I'd come in off the street and give you a piece of my mind. What gives me the authority? I bought two drinks.
Your job.
I don't know the occupation of one person in this audience. I don't know where you work. I've never set foot in your place of business. But I know one thing about your job. I know wherever you work, you cannot believe how dumb the system they have there is. How did they get so many idiots in one place? And this new nincompoop that's in charge of these morons is an even bigger pinhead than the last jerk these numbnuts hired. I'd quit, but I could never make the same money someplace else doing as little work as I do here. Are you kidding? I love it here. I do nothing. I just don't understand why the company's doing so bad.
The offensive brain.
Why does the brain do that? Why, as we try our best throughout the day to act normal and pretend to be not weird, why is your brain always thinking of obnoxious comments that you could make? Rude behaviors, inappropriate actions that would only horrify, disturb, and offend. Why? Where do these thoughts come from? Why not trip this person carrying a large box that can't quite see where they're going? Why does my brain present me with these options? What if I stood up in this important meeting and made an outrageous sexual overture that would get me instantly fired? Are you ever in the middle of a conversation with someone and think, I could probably kill this guy right now? He'd never see it coming. He asked me to hand him a scissor. What if I took that scissor and stabbed him with it? Why do I have suicide fantasies to go along with my homicide fantasies? If I go over to someone's place that has a terrace or a balcony, I always have to go out on it, look over the edge and think, oh, I could fall right over this thing. Everybody here would freak out. Oh my God, he killed himself. I can't believe it. I was just about to stab him with a scissor.
Everything is garbage.
I believe that all the objects and possessions that we own really just exist at different stages of becoming garbage. To me, the world is comprised of garbage and pre-garbage. I hate the garbage, and I love to throw it out. That is my personality type. I love to throw anything out. I find if I have something, I really don't want it. I wish there was a store where you could buy something, pivot, and just throw it down a chute into an incinerator. Complete the whole inevitable process right there. I like to walk the streets of New York. If a garbage man says to me, love your work, I go right back at you. Because every object on Earth is actually part of a giant slow parade to the dumpster. While you're walking into your house excitedly with your shopping bags, the garbage man is driving by in his truck, and he looks at you like, oh, I'll see you soon. Your home is really just a garbage processing center. You buy new things, you bring them into your house, and you slowly trashify them over time. A new purchase in the house begins its life full of hope and promise. The box is opened on the kitchen table, the place of honor for the new arrival. You read the instructions. You fill out the registration card. You may even join the club of other idiots that have this thing. You repeat some of the lines the salesman used on you, but they don't sound the same when you say them. And you start to realize that maybe you're not going to be quite as keen on drying out fruit and storing it in your basement as you thought you were going to be. From there, it is demoted to the closet. That's why we have that, so we don't have to see all of the huge mistakes we have made. It starts on a shelf where it's easy to get to, then to the floor, where you start to step on it to reach things. It's cracking and breaking under your foot. You don't even give a damn, because you're now only interested in some other newer item that is just beginning on its journey to junk. The next step down for the object is the garage, one of the longest phases in trashification, but one of the most definite. No object in human history has ever successfully made it out of the garage and back into the house. Even the word garage seems to be a form of the word garbage. Once you're living in the same room as the garbage cans, well, it won't be much longer now. Really, eBay is the only thing that can save the object at this point. eBay, of course, another great step forward in human culture. Hey, why don't we mail our garbage back and forth to each other? No, Jerry, you don't understand. The things I get on eBay, they're collectibles. Oh, I see. So you purchase this item from a collector who collects these collectibles because even he didn't want it. Or the personal storage area. This is the saddest of all. Now, instead of free garbage, you pay rent to visit your garbage. It's like a prison visit. Everything is rusted and broken. You lift up that rolling steel door, make your little speech. Listen, I'm trying to get you guys out of here. There's no place for you in the world right now. That's why you are incarcerated. But I'm working on it, and I will be back. Everything is thrown out in the end. Even we are thrown out in the end, my friends. And when I hear about someone that died and wanted some important personal possessions put in with them when they're buried, I'm all for that. Take your crap with you. They say you can take it with you. I say, let's try.
DNA.
Why do we try so hard? Why all the desperado go for broke personal attractiveness choices? Why do we take these chances? Where is the brain when these decisions are made? The brain is not involved. The brain is intelligence. We're not using that. It's our DNA. That's what's in control. 67 years old? Put paint on your head. People will think you're 28. And color in your eyebrows with a squeaky Sharpie. DNA says, toupee, good thinking. DNA says, we're going to get you a cheap wig and a tight girdle and we're going out. What DNA wants and will do anything for is to just get itself to the next generation. DNA stands for damn near attractive, and that's all we're trying to get you up to.
Conceived.
My wife and I conceived sometime in January. I love the term conceived. Makes it sound like I actually thought of something. Yes, I conceived of the whole thing. Is that your child? No, it's just an idea that I had.
Baby born.
So the way they do it is they have this huge sheet, and I am positioned north of the equator. The baby's born. The doctor picks the baby up. Her head pops up from behind this sheet. It's like a Kukla, Fran, and Ollie show. So instead of experiencing the most poignant moment of my life, I'm thinking, this is the greatest puppet show I've ever seen. It's so lifelike. And it's got my face in it.
Baby products.
Why does every single baby product in the world have to have a picture of a baby on it? The food, the toys, the wipes. We know it's for babies. Is anyone buying Huggies by mistake? Hey, these aren't elegant dinner napkins. This is like for a baby's ass or something.
Birthday clown.
I go to these kids' parties. The birthday party clown always corners me and wants to talk to me about his comedy career. I don't know what to tell him. Listen, dude, I don't know how to get from these parties to having your own show on TV. I just went from having my own show on TV to these parties myself. I don't know how to do it in reverse. I think the hardest part of being a clown would be that you're constantly referred to as a clown. Who is that clown? I'm not working with that clown. Did you hire that clown? The guy's a clown. How do you even know that you want to be a clown? I guess you just get to a point where your pants look so bad, it's actually easier to become a clown than have the proper alterations done.
Birthday Kids Jumpy Castle.
Then they have this other thing at these parties called a jumpy castle. Basically, it's a small, portable, insane asylum for children. You insert your child into the slot, the child turns around and shows you what their real personality actually is. By the time they get out, they're in such a psychotic frenzy, all you can do is just load them in the back of your minivan paddy wagon, strap them into their little car seat straitjacket, and drive away. Go ahead and scream, you're out of your mind anyway.
Circus.
This is why the circus is still around after 15 centuries of no one enjoying 5 seconds of it. Parents think kids like it. Kids think, I guess my parents needed me to see this for some reason. No one's got the guts to stand up in the middle of a circus and go, what the hell is this even supposed to be? Watching flexible immigrants fleeing for their lives from these deranged animals jacked up on Thorazine, trying to survive on a diet of sawdust and peanut shells. No one's laughing at the clowns. Because we all know somewhere underneath all that bright color, there is a man who is not right. And I don't want to be too down on the clowns. We are colleagues in a certain sense. I think a certain professional respect is appropriate.
Annoying line.
And I would love to tell you some stories about all the cute little things that our new daughter does, but I'm not going to do that because I'm not exactly sure where the annoying line is. I know it's right around me somewhere here, and I also know it's very easy to cross, because I sure as hell don't want to hear about all the funny things your kid said or did and how you don't know where he gets it from. I'll tell you where he gets it from. He gets it from you, because you're boring, he's boring, your whole damn family is boring. I would like to hear from the parents of dumb kids talk about how they always know exactly where the kid is getting it from. We've tried everything, MTV, rap music, the internet. He's just not picking up anything that surprises us in any way. He never says anything that we don't know exactly where he got it from.
Family member stickers.
I would describe myself as very pro-family, very anti-wanting to hear anything about anybody else's family, particularly regarding the row of little white family member stick figures on the back window of your minivan. No one's going, hey, look, 3 girls and a ferret, let's catch up and find out more. There's 2 lesbians, a Rottweiler and a Korean kid. I want to meet them. Let's congratulate them on those very specific choices. We don't need to know more. We see you're in a minivan. Doesn't that tell us enough? You're just trying to get a group of people from birth to death as comfortably and efficiently as possible. I'm also not seeing any stick figures getting out of these vehicles either, by the way. I'm seeing the bumper come up about 1.5 feet when they disembark. How about some stickers on the backs of some of these fat asses? Cake, fries, soda, pudding pops, ho-hos, Clark Bar. They seem to be part of the family, too.
Daddy's home.
There are 2 basic male domestic instincts. First, we see our daily return to the home as an event of great momentousness. We announce it at the door, Daddy's home, as if family members will drop to their knees and weep at their good fortune. They do not, because they know once our coat is off, that concludes our involvement with anyone or anything in the house. Which is the second male domestic instinct, avoidance. The only thing ever heard about Dad around the house is, where is your father? I saw him at the wedding, and that is the last we know of his whereabouts. In the 50s, Father spent a lot of time working on bomb shelters. They'd be underground digging huge holes in their own backyards, more comfortable dealing with a nuclear holocaust than a nuclear family.
Golf.
Avoidance is the male domestic instinct. Golf, the ultimate avoidance activity, a game so nonsensically difficult, so pointless, so irrationally time-consuming, the word golf could only possibly stand for get out, leave family. And I have a lot of friends that play. They all love to play. You would love it, Jerry. It's a very challenging game. Yes, I am sure that it is. It's also challenging trying to throw a tic-tac 100 yards into a shoebox. In the fantasy mind of the golfing father, when he comes home, the family will come running out to hear the exciting stories of his golfing adventures. In reality, no one is even aware that he has left or returned from 8.5 hours of idiotic hacking through sand and weeds while driving drunk in a clown car through a fake park.
Kids in bed.
My wife has been bringing our youngest one in the bed every night at 3 o'clock in the morning. This is another beautiful experience. It's like sleeping next to a laundry bag that has a live goat tied up inside. All night long, the goat is punching and kicking, trying to get out. He has somehow mounted himself onto a rotating display wheel that works its way around the bed, raising his body temperature to 189 degrees. How does that little body pump out all that heat? God, it's hot in there. And not only is it romantic to sleep with your wife like that, but you wake up feeling refreshed and ready to go.
The idea of Dad.
It takes time for the idea of Dad to sink in. It was years into my children's lives, I'd see them looking at me from across the room like they were going to come over and say, "I'm sorry, is someone helping you? Mom, the horsey ride guy is here again. Do we need anything?"
Thank you, monkey.
Why do all parents now have to turn their kids into battery-powered, cymbal-clapping thank you monkeys? Thank the yogurt lady, thank the bus driver, thank the man for not abducting you and making you grow up in a tent in his backyard. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. They do this because all they want is for some other parent to say, "Oh, your child has such good manners." No, he doesn't. He doesn't know what's going on. When trained poodles walk around on their hind legs, they don't think, "Oh, look at me. I'm progressing to a higher level of species." They think, "I don't want any more beatings, so I'm going to do this."
Mob boss.
When I say I love being a parent, I certainly don't mean to give you the impression that I am in any way effective at it. I tell my kids to do things, but they say no. And so I have been reduced to threats, fear, and intimidation. I have become a small-time mob boss around my house. I figure out what they like, and then I threaten to hurt those things. I notice you're becoming quite fond of that little stuffed Curious George that sits in the corner of your room. It would certainly be a shame if something were to suddenly happen to him. He sits so close to the stairwell. And with you being at nursery school all day, he seems so vulnerable. I was just looking at the box he came in, and I think I noticed the word flammable. Sometimes they make Play-Doh animals, and when they go to sleep at night, I break the heads off of the animals and leave them at the foot of their bed for them to discover when they wake up in the morning. Nothing wrong with sending your child a little Sicilian message once in a while.
Other kids over my house.
Sometimes they bring kids over my house, which I don't get. We have kids. Why do we need these other kids? Do you find that other people's children never look quite right? Their faces always seem silly puttied into some compressed or elongated shape. Too wide, too narrow. Is that boy's head supposed to be like that? He's a melon head. Then the parents come to pick him up. Oh, they're melon heads too. It's just a big melon head family. He's fine. Most children I meet are either sticky or crusty. I think they start off sticky, roll in whatever debris, it adheres to them, and they become crusty. To me, all these kids that come over my house are just pecan logs that talk. I have never felt concerned when these little kids would hurt themselves while they're in my home. Well, sure you're crying. You just drove your head into the side of that television set. That was the damnedest thing I've ever seen, by the way. No hesitation. You lowered your melon head and went right into it. That's a very valuable lesson you just received. You learned dumb equals pain. You're going to be learning this many, many times in your life, I have a feeling. Because when you're dumb, life hurts.
Star Wars.
I watch a lot of Star Wars with the kids. Don't care for it personally. I can say that publicly because they were never going to put me in Star Wars anyway. I'm wrong for the tone. You don't want a character that during one of the lightsaber fights says, "You know all these backflips, splits, and cartwheels? No one is scared of anyone that can do these things. You can flip all you want, it doesn't hurt the other person. If you want to go to a different platform, just step down to it. Someone's trying to kill you, you need to focus." I'd like to be in a casual scene with Darth Vader. I really want to ask him, So are you able to go anywhere without the music? If you get up in the middle of the night to pee, does it come blasting on, waking everybody up? If you stop, does the music stop?
Sucks and great.
Things we do to convince ourselves that our lives don't suck. Tomorrow you'll be walking around, "My life doesn't suck. I saw a comedian that had a TV show in the 90s last night." Even though the truth is, your life does pretty much suck. I know that because I know that everyone's life sucks. Your life sucks. My life sucks too. Perhaps not quite as much. But in the vast suckness of human living, everyone's life sucks and that's okay. Never feel bad that your life sucks, because the greatest lesson you can learn in life is that sucks and great are pretty close. People want you to think that these are polar opposite ends of the spectrum, but they're not. They're right there. So sick of hearing about some great restaurant that everyone says you have to go to. You know how your friends just single you out for some reason? You have to go. You would love it. Wouldn't he love it? He would love it. You would love it. You have to go because you. Did you like it? I didn't care for it myself, but you. I don't like great. I'm looking for not bad. How's the food over there? It's not bad. That sounds great. Let's just go there and get this over with. If you go to a great restaurant, they got to tell you the specials. Would you like to hear the specials? No. If they're so special, put them on the menu. I'm not interested in food that's auditioning to get on the team. I don't understand all the words they use anyway. We're going to pan sear it. We're going to herb crust it. And then we're going to drizzle it with something that's a reduction of something else. They're always drizzling in these places. Stop drizzling. We can't take the drizzling anymore. Maybe if you didn't reduce it so much, you wouldn't have to drizzle it. The meal takes 2.5 hours. Your ass is hurting by the end of it. It's not half as good as a bowl of Lucky Charms and Pepsi anyway. The check always comes in that special book like it's the story of the bill. Yeah, here's the story. Once upon a time, you got ripped. That's the story. You're standing on the street afterwards with your friends. Was that great? I don't know if it was great. Actually, I think it sucked. That place sucked. Then you go to a baseball game. You have a hot dog. The hot dog is cold. The bun is not toasted. The vendor's an ex-con in a work release program. You do not care. You love that hot dog every time. Does it suck? Yes. Is it great? Yes. That's how close they are. Sucks and great are the only two ratings people even use anymore. No one's interested in any other opinion. Hey, you want to go see that new movie? I heard it's great. Really? I heard it sucks. How could it suck? It was supposed to be great. I heard the beginning is great, but after that it sucks. Oh, that sucks. I know, could have been great. I say to you that sucks and great are the exact same thing. You have an ice cream cone, you're walking down the street, the ice cream falls off the top of the cone, hits the pavement, sucks. What do you say? Great.
The teens.
Over the course of all these years, when I look at all this stuff, it reminds me of my horse racing bit, where the out-of-breath horse doesn't understand why the jockey took them all around the track, the longest possible route. He gets to the finish line and says, "Why didn't we just stay here? We would have been first." So the horse has quite a good grasp of the logistics of the racetrack, but incredibly, so little understanding of the horse race itself. So smart and so dumb. And I guess that's me. It took a lot of effort for me to get all the way around the track to finally discover the end point is exactly where I started. So many other avenues have come my way over the years, and I have taken a visit here and there of the other forms in which I could press myself into service. As I read this, we are in the time of Corona, so there is no live performing. Stand-up is about a brief, fleeting moment of human connection, like surfers sitting in the water on their board, just waiting for one more ride, one more thrilling skim across the top of the world. People often ask me where I like to work, what kind of places, theaters, which cities. The place I like to work is in my head, to try and reach someone else's. The special, special thing about stand-up is the sound that tells you for sure that you did it, you reached them. Of course, you can never know exactly how all of it really even happens. We don't need to know everything. We can feel what's real. And I hope we get to be together again someday soon. In the meantime, putting all this together in a book has given us another kind of real connection. You can feel that's how we're supposed to be.
Annoying friends.
Why are your friends so annoying? These are the people you have chosen to be with, and yet you cannot stand them. Who's going? How do we get there? When do we leave? Where is it again? Which car? My car? Your car? One car? Two cars? Your car's too small. We can squeeze. Pick me up. Pick you up. It's on the way. It's the opposite direction. What time is the show? 7 o'clock. Who the hell has a show at 7 o'clock? This guy is ruining my entire life. Are we eating? Did you eat? I didn't eat. I'm starving. I'm stuffed. I've been eating Jolly Rancher all day. I need something solid. Half of you didn't even remember the damn thing was tonight. You had to be reminded of that. You know we're going to that show tonight. Tonight? Yes, it's tonight. I don't really feel like going tonight. Well, we have to go tonight. That's the only night he's here. This guy's huge. He's here and he's gone. You think he's going to play here for a month? We're living in Bakersfield. Snap out of it.
Out.
What an impressive accomplishment this is on your part. Got out of the house, went somewhere, did something, dealt with all the natural obstacles of planning, arranging, difficult people, annoying friends, many of whom you're sitting with right now, that for some reason required unnecessarily complicated back-and-forth communications about what about the tickets, who's got the tickets. How many times have you heard the word tickets today? Make sure you bring the tickets. I got the tickets. Don't forget the tickets. We need the tickets. What about their tickets? I don't have their tickets. They got to get their own tickets. I never got the money from them the last time I got them tickets. I like to hold my own tickets. I want to be seen as an individual as opposed to part of a more generalized, anonymous group of ticket holders. Just get in the car before we assassinate you. Why are your friends so annoying? These are the people you have picked to be with in life, and yet you cannot stand them. You'd get rid of them in a second if it wasn't an even bigger pain in the ass to find new people, learn a whole new set of different annoying problems they have that they never do anything about. Change all the names and numbers in your phone, delete all the old contact information. Oh, the hell with it, I'll ride it out with these idiots. It's all the same meals, holidays, and movies anyway.
Ready.
Husbands and wives that arrived here tonight intact get special credit. The simultaneous house exit is the highest level of marriage difficulty. You can have kids, they win the Olympics, get the Nobel Prize. That is nothing compared to getting out of that goddamn house together. Once you hear the word ready, it's like a poison gas moving through the house. Ready, make sure you're ready. You need to be ready. Why aren't you ready? How long do you think it's going to take you to get ready? I'm ready now. You're wearing that? Wives appear out of the bathroom. The door swings open. I'm not even close to ready. The door slams shut. The fights continue in the car. How can you drive this fast on these roads in that shirt? Why are you wearing that shirt? Look, I just want to have a good time tonight. Then why did you park so far away? Can't you see I am in heels?
Marriage happy.
The key to marriage, of course, is to make the other person happy. That's what I tell all my guy friends. Make your woman happy. You're not going to be happy, and that's good, because that cuts your work in half. Now we're down to one person that we have to worry about keeping so goddamn happy. You think men want to be happy? We don't even know what it is. We don't care what it is. We've never experienced it and couldn't be less interested in it. What men want is to do whatever the hell stupid thing it is that we're doing, and if you could please just leave me the hell alone and let me do it, I think we'll both be a lot happier. And ladies, this is the thing about men you have to understand. We're not really ever happy or unhappy. We're just guys. Men just do what we have to do until someone comes up to us and says, hey, come here, I got something else for you to do. We go, okay, and then we do that.
Two things.
The drive of the male is to simplify. All men put all things into one of two categories. It's either that's my problem, or that is not my problem. That's all we know, all we want to know. We got two boxes. They're marked problem, no problem. And this is why men secretly love being married even more than women. It's a perfect fit with our normal state of, God damn it, son of a bitch. I could not have flowed more smoothly into being a husband and having a family because I already understood life to be a nonstop 24-hour repetitive cycle of what the hell is going on now? So then, what does a man want from a woman? A man wants the same thing from a woman that he wants from his underwear. Certain amount of support and a certain amount of freedom.
Dogs playing poker.
And I know the women here are looking at me like, you know, Jerry, we know you always like to talk like you know what you're talking about, even when you don't. But the way you describe it, you make men sound so simple. It can't be that simple. It is. A man is really nothing more than an extremely advanced dog. Why did someone paint a picture of dogs playing poker? What kind of twisted dog man freak breed mixed species metaphor is even going on there? Why did my father and every one of his friends see this picture and instantly go, I'm putting that up in my garage, because that is a place where I can put up things that I want without anyone questioning it? Forget about if dogs could even sit in chairs and get human clothing. It is impossible to play poker with paws. The shuffling, the dealing, the arranging of the cards in your hand. No way to do it when all you have is three black circles. We all teach our dogs how to shake, but it's not a real firm clasp, is it? Paw, very limited in what it can do.
Men as dogs.
Or to look at it the other way, if it's men that became dogs, they're not going to want to play poker either. The reason men play poker is because they cannot have the 100% food, sex, sleep lifestyle of dogs that we envy so much. Now, does that mean if I could, I would spend my life investigating crotches with my nose, catching frisbees with my mouth, relieving myself in public and eating out of a giant bowl of food on the floor? No, but it's not the craziest idea I ever heard. All I'm saying is, if dogs ever do start playing poker, a lot of other interesting possibilities could open up.
Guard gate filtration system.
So, Jerry, we would like to understand in a little more detail how you made this transition in your life, because we saw you do it. You were a single bachelor guy for 45 years, then you turned on a dime, marriage, wife, kids, family. How'd you navigate that? How'd you acclimate, cohabitate, and procreate, learning to accommodate so as not to aggravate? It's a very good question, because a man in marriage will not survive if he does not have a strong guard gate speech filtration system. You don't just talk in marriage. It's risky. When I'm with my wife, who I love so dearly, and a thought enters my head, the first thing I think is, well, I know I can't say that. Maybe I could say I heard someone else say it. And then she and I can share a warm moment together, agreeing on what an idiot that person must be.
Look fat.
My wife is very smart, so I have to be thinking all the time, too. Because the bored female is a very dangerous individual. They will invent games to play to alleviate the boredom that are not fun games. A wife will say, I'm going to put on an outfit that is completely wrong for my body type, and I would like to get your opinion of it. Oh, no, no, I don't want to play this. Why? It's not a difficult game. I'm just going to move these three different shells around a little, and you simply have to pick the right one. I'm just asking if you think this makes me look fat. No, I don't, because you're not fat, so that would be impossible. But if it did make me look fat, would you consider lying to not hurt my feelings? Well, I would never want to hurt your feelings, and you might be lying. I could look fat, that's it, game over, you lose again. Would you like to play Do You Think My Friend Is Pretty Roulette? And that's not even Russian roulette. There's a bullet in every chamber of that game.
Marriage kit.
Marriage comes in different size do-it-yourself kits. I went for the full-size wife, kids, in-laws, pets, complete gift set. If you do that, it is a lot to assemble. A lot of small, very intricate moving parts, not labeled, sharp edges, choking hazards, missing pieces. There are many, many pages of instructions that, again, are not written down anywhere. And if you do go back to refer to them, they've been changed. For no reason and without notification. Now when you turn the wheel left, the car goes right. So you have to learn quick and remember that everything you have learned is wrong.
Childhood 1960s.
I grew up in the 60s. I see a lot of beautiful young people here tonight, clearly enjoying your beautiful young lives of infinite potential and opportunity. Well, let me tell you something, you little punks. You didn't even have a childhood compared to what we had in the 60s. You had garbage. You had nothing. You know why? Your parents paid attention to you. Our parents didn't even know our names. They were ignorant, negligent, completely checked out on nutrition, safety, education. Can you even imagine the world I'm describing? We grew up like wild dogs in the 60s. It was magnificent. No seatbelts, no helmets, no restraints of any kind. Anything came to a stop, we just flew through the air. I was either consuming 100% sugar or airborne. That was my childhood, and it was fantastic. My parents didn't know where my school was, what my grades were, where I was. I was like a raccoon to my parents. You know there's one around, but no one's really tracking the whereabouts.
Good humor.
I loved getting ice cream from the ice cream man. You'd stand in line behind the truck. They had a little menu of the different ice creams you could get, and it was placed right over the exhaust pipe of the truck. Our eyes were watering, coughing. If you had a Dixie cup, it was the equivalent of smoking a pack of Camels. Nobody cared. These were good times. And no matter what you asked the guy for, he'd reach in and pull it right out. He never had a look. I don't know how he did it. Was there a little Eskimo guy in there handing it to him?
Parent style.
I'm not a huge fan of the parenting style of the current generation, in which I include myself. I have no idea what happened, but somehow we got just a little too all into it. Where did we learn this? When we were kids, our parents didn't give a damn about us. Here's how you grew up. You were born to people. You lived in their house. The day you moved out, you turned around and went, "That was insane." I did not understand 90% of the last 18 years, but I appreciate it and will be back to visit the minimum acceptable number of times. Nice doing business with you. We couldn't wait to get out of that house. Our kids can't wait to stay right where they are. They know there's nothing better out there. When mine were little, getting them to sleep every night was like a royal coronation silver jubilee centennial. That's how many different steps and moments there were to it. It started with my wife and I picking up the back of their little bathrobes and holding them off the floor, taking one step at a time like holding a royal wedding gown, as we proceeded down the hall to the bathroom for the brushing, flossing, plaque rinse, and dental appliance ceremonies. Then to the bedrooms for the pillow arrangement, blanket adjustment, and stuffed animal semicircle of emotional support to help the little cretins get through 9.5 hours without constant positive reinforcement. I had to read each kid 8 different moron books. You know what my bedtime story was? Darkness. My favorite character was The Complete Absence of Light. That was the book I read every night.
Pinata.
When I go to kids' birthday parties now, I envy the pinata. I wish I was hanging by a neck cord, getting beat on by an angry mob of children with bats and sticks. At least I'd feel involved. When the pinata comes out, you can feel the tone of the party changes a bit. Today you're 5. It's time you learned about blind rage and senseless violence. Holding little 4-year-old shoulders. You will wail on this ignorant beast, you hear me? Just beat the snot out of him. And whatever falls out of his ruptured carcass, just grab it and eat it right in front of his face. And when we're done with him, we're going to put a picture of his brother on the wall, everyone's going to get a pin, and we're going to nail his ass. I don't know why there's so much donkey abuse at these things.
Gutter ball.
You don't think we're horrible parents? You take a kid bowling now, they have these rails that come up out of the gutters, so when the stupid kid rolls the ball, it has to hit a pin. Has to. We eliminated the gutter ball. Nice preparation for life. I think the gutter ball is really the only life lesson a kid really needs to have. You either do the thing you're doing right, or there's a huge ka-clunk sound and total public humiliation. Just roll the gutter ball. Roll it. Walk back, take another bite of your Nestle Crunch bar, you tell your friend he sucks too, and you're done. Parents, if your child is traumatized by a gutter ball, the kid's not going to make it, okay? Just forget the whole thing. Don't even finish raising them. We can't use these people. If we were good parents, we'd be putting extra gutters down the middle of these bowling alleys. You want to know what it's like out there, Timmy? It's all gutters. Get ready.
A marriage moment.
Marriage is a beautiful thing, full of fascinating moments. I actually saw this the other day. Husband in the car, wife on the street, he's picking her up after work, and he did not bring the car to a full and complete stop for her to get in. She had the car door open. She was hopping on one foot, trying to get some kind of leverage on the armrest of the door. You can only get one foot in a moving car. One can only imagine the spirited exchange of ideas that took place inside that car the rest of the drive home. But that's what marriage is. It's two people. That's it. Trying to stay together without saying the words, "I hate you," which you are not allowed to say. Don't say that. You can feel it. That's okay. Just don't let it come out. Say something else. Anything. Say, "Why is there never any scotch tape in this goddamn house?" Scotch is I, tape is hate, house is you. But it's better. It's better to say, "You know, no normal human being leaves a bathroom floor that wet," than, "You're stubbing out my soul like a cigarette butt." You don't say, "I could kill you right now." You say, "You're so funny sometimes."
Dual zone climate control.
You are not alone in marriage. Society, culture, technology even, is helping you on your journey. For example, in your car, dual zone, separate buttons on each side, climate control systems. Gee, I wonder if it was a married person that thought of that. Thought this could possibly come in handy if you are with a certain person that you are perchance legally bound to for the rest of your life, and you need them to shut the hell up about the temperature. "I'm freezing, I'm roasted, I'm boiling. It's blowing on me." When my wife says the air is on me, it's the equivalent of a normal person saying a bear is on me. That is the emergency level we are at, and I respond at that level too. "Oh my God, an evil breeze from a hostile vent is attacking my mate and life partner, who incidentally bore me three children without anesthesia, probably could have caught the babies herself if no one else was around, but cannot survive a waft of air 3 degrees off her optimum desired temperature." And I'm sure this stupid dual zone thing totally works, too, to keep different temperature air molecules from commingling inside a 3-foot-wide closed compartment of an automobile. Because when I go to my coffee place in the morning, I like to get my coffee black on the left side of the cup, cream and sugar on the right. And that's no problem. They can do that. Or if you go to a fancy restaurant, they ask you, "Do you want still or sparkling water?" I say both, same glass. Keep them separate. I do it in my car all the time.
Just honks.
Communication technology inside the car, so sophisticated. Every possible interface. Outside, just honks. That's it. Like cavemen grunting. Map, map, map. Light. Green. What? What is it? What do you want? My lane. Ma, this is my lane. My lane.
Family vacation.
We just came back from a nice family vacation, or what I like to call, let's pay a lot of money to go fight in a hotel. Let's fight on bikes. Let's use profanity in a pristine white sand beach. Let's get abusive on a water slide. Let's have a blowout screaming match at a complimentary continental breakfast. Let's fight about how well-behaved those other children seem to be. I wonder if they were out on the hotel balcony last night with $12 minibar cashews trying to hit the other guests in the head. When we take a trip, it's 6 days and 7 nights of scapegoating, mutiny, exploiting the weak, and crushing the human spirit. And when we get home, we feel refreshed because we destroyed something together as a family.
Vacation me.
I do not do well on vacations. My wife hates going with me. My kids hate it. I'm in a bad mood instantly. I don't like that someone else thinks they know what I would like. I don't like that. When I do something that I want to do, my idea, my choice, 50-50 chance I'll like that. So what's this other person's chances? Not good.
Zip line.
If this resort is so much fun to be at, why are they putting up zip lines? Because everyone's so bored here, they're willing to risk decapitation to find out what it feels like to be dry cleaning. I would zip line if I could do it inside a clear plastic bag with cardboard across my shoulders and a twist tie on top of my head, then leave on a hook in the back of someone's car. Let me see what it's really like. And if any one of us does get injured on this thing, I'm sure we'll have no problem navigating the court system in this fifth world island nation that seems mostly to be run by Komodo dragons.
Stand up paddleboard.
Then you go to the stand up paddleboard because so many people were asking, do you have anything so unstable that my legs shake like a baby giraffe standing for the first time? What is the difference between stand up paddleboard and being a migrant farm worker? Here's stand up paddleboard. Here's breaking rocks on a chain gang. Here's stand up paddleboard. It's the same motions.
The jet ski.
The jet ski. More aquatic sadness. To take your mind off the utter futility of everything. No, come on, Jerry. Jet skis are cool. What can you do? You can speed up. Turn. Go back around to where you just were. Catch up to your friend on the other jet ski. Talk for a minute. Hey, what do you think the meaning of life is? Not this.
Father's Day.
Father's Day isn't a celebration. It's a reminder. It's, oh my God, we completely forgot about Dad Day. Let's buy him a gift that shows him how little we know about him. Like those silver balls that hang from the strings, you pull one out and it knocks the other one. This is the ultimate I don't give a rat's ass present you can buy for another human being, and every father seems to have one on his desk.
Dad is a helium balloon.
Nonetheless, the father remains proud. Dressing in bizarre outfits around the house on the weekends, all fathers essentially dress in the clothing style of the last good year of their lives. Whatever a man was wearing around the time he got married, he freezes that moment in fashion history and just rides it out to the end. You see fathers on the street, 05, 91, 83, and it's fine. It's all fine. Nobody's really looking at Dad anyway. Dad around the house is like a day-old helium balloon. Just floating somewhere between the ceiling and the floor. Should we play with it? Should we pop it? Why is it even here? The helium balloon, truly the cycle of man. In the beginning, the woman holds on to him tight, doesn't want him to fly away. In the end, can't even hold up his own string.
Kids don't want parents.
It's tough being a mom, too. You got to do all the work, give all the love. I don't think moms get enough appreciation. There seems to be this whole tradition of TV shows based on the premise of how much fun life would be if we could just get rid of mom. Bonanza, Family Affair, My Three Sons, Flipper, The Courtship of Eddie's Father, Johnny Quest, My Two Dads, Two and a Half Men. In the superhero world, both parents have to be disposed of immediately. They have to be dead, lost, or missing. Or no kid is going to be interested in this story. Batman, just murder them in the first scene, get him right out of the way. Spider-Man, leave the senile old aunt around, she's a pushover anyway. Superman, blow up the whole planet with the parents on it before the story even starts. There are no superheroes with parents. Can't have it. If there's parents, what's the fantasy about? Flying around in a costume? No, not good enough. You want criminals caught?